Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WBQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WBQC LP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WBQC LP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WBQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
WBQC.7 is online at WBQC.org. Hemp Rock is online at HempRock.com. The Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
Got a silver spoon on a chain. Got a strong urge to fly, but I've got nowhere to fly to.
Fly to, fly to.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
We believe the war on drugs is really a war on people.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war
isn't that the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Larice Harvey.
I am Dr. Matilda Krim.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Montel Williams, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queens City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's
95.7 FM.
FM it is, and the signal sounds wonderful.
All right, now I'm going to bring out the next beat.
Stop that thing. All right, and the Burn Man just screwed that rolling up. That's all right. We will come back to that clip in just a few minutes. Of course, it is Hemp Rock Radio, and I am the Happy Hemptress, and he is the Burn Man over there. You need a roller. He needs a roller. Anyway, that is, of course, the Burn Man, and I asked him just a few minutes ago how he's feeling, and he said, okay. So I think that's a good assessment. You're feeling okay?
Okay. Rough today, isn't it?
A little rough today?
Yeah.
Well, your color isn't quite as good, but, you know, maybe you didn't get enough sleep. But as folks know, Chuck is fighting stomach cancer and lymph node and esophagus cancer as well. But let me say this. When was your diagnosis? It was the second week of January.
Right.
A week after we lost Gatewood Galbraith. And it is now the first week of March. And you're hanging in there pretty tough, guy. Let me say, you know, with the diagnosis that they gave you, if you'd have been
30
doing
90 days to live.
Yeah. And you'd be sick from their medicine. And so I think you're hanging in there fairly well. So we'll talk more about that. But of course, I do have to, of course, tell you what is going on today. We've only got a few minutes before I'm going to roll into the next clip. So very quickly, I want to tell you the clip at the top of the show, of course, was... No, it wasn't Pink Floyd. Everybody's going, it was Pink Floyd. No, It was, but it wasn't. It was the British Pink Floyd show with the song Nobody Home live set from their Liverpool show from last year. And they are touring around Canada right now, as a matter of fact. I can't open my browser. It was a browser that I missed opening this morning. And now we still have... by the way, we do take all donations. We are WVQCLP, meaning low power and low money. low funds, PH, as they would say. And our router has, or the wireless router, broke a couple of weeks ago. That's why we have not had an internet connection here to access the web while we are online. Now, the station itself is online, but it's our individual computer wireless connections for in-studio that is not working at the moment, folks. So if anybody out there would like to donate a lousy $50 to, because that's just about what it would take to for this nonprofit station to buy another router, so folks like me can have internet connection here in the studio. But anyway, so I cannot go to Brit Floyd, but you guys can. And if you're up in the Canada area, I think they're somewhere in Quebec or something. I'm not even sure. But they're all over the country up there. And then they're swinging back around through New York and back this way at the end of March. So, or in the next couple of weeks and then through the end of March. So if you're into Floyd, that is the show to go see right now. Of course, the one of the number one Floyd tribute bands in the world. And I was there last week in Toledo and Detroit, and what a great time. So kudos to the boys and the ladies with Brit Floyd. We appreciate them sharing that show with us. Now, if you're in Kentucky, this is March 24th, the Let It Grow Kentucky Hemp Initiative rally on the Capitol steps in Frankfort, Saturday, March 24th at 9:30 a.m. Now, that you can get more information at Kentucky, that's KY for Kentucky, kyhemp.org. Now, real quick, I'll tell you more about it at the next break, but there is a survey up at virgin.com. If you don't know Richard Branson, who started all the Virgin companies, has jumped on the bandwagon with us with the Drug Policy Alliance as our clip PSA at the beginning of the show. He is sort of working alongside and picked up the bandwagon, and he's doing his own stuff now. So on his blog, Richard's blog at virgin.com, this he dropped down last Tuesday. This was after our show last Tuesday. We did not get it until after. So it is the War on Drugs survey. What do you think? A one-minute survey. We believe it is time to end the criminalization and stigmatizing of drug users to more effectively combat drug use and drug-related crime. Criminal syndicates should face the law and jail time, but people with drug problems need health care, not prison. We would greatly appreciate it if you could take this quick five-question survey on the war on drugs. So go there if you want to join in that thing. I would, except that I have no connection. So now, let's see, a couple other things. You know, this page is may one day, along with some other ones, replace what we all use for Facebook. I highly encourage everybody out there to go to a420nation.com. It's a cannabis and hemp advocates blog, and kind of like Facebook, but only it's a weed book, or I should say face weed, or weed face, or however you want to call it. But it had a crash recently, and they're starting back up again, and they're encouraging everybody that's out there. And you know, Facebook sucks, folks. Let me just say, after the change, we're all going to hate it, like MySpace, and we're probably all going to leave it. So that's what's going on. They always want to screw things up when things are going good. And so I encourage folks to get off of those types of pages and jump over to the ones that are supported by people like us that don't censor things. So anyway, without further ado, let me see my clips page because I'm already running over. So go ahead and roll up, and you got clip number 5 ready to roll. I want to thank you, Burn Man, for getting this together for Hemp Rock TV. And if you go to Weed Radio Network, WEEDRadioNetwork.com, and scroll down to the Hemp Rock TV link, it'll take you to his YouTube page, YouTube Pot Smoker 840, but it's much easier just to go to weedradionetwork.com and click on Hemp Rock TV instead of remembering everything else. But you put up the 2004 Cincinnati Million Marijuana March video, unedited.
Semi-edited. Like I said, I got boxes and boxes. I'm just putting them up on there. At least some of the people gets up on there now.
It's okay, you know.
Maybe the originals may be gone because those were put on expensive SVHS tapes, and they always wanted them back.
I know. That's all right. right. Hey, I think it's kind of cool to watch the beginning and how the rally is put together. People can see what's going on Fountain Square before the actual rally. And so if you want to see that in its entirety, of course, you can go there to watch it. But today we're going to air three clips from it. The first one will be from Kaylee. And then the second one, she was representing WONPR at the time, and that is Women's Organization for National Prohibition Reform, as well as the next clip from a guy, I'm not sure where he is now, but in 2004 he was running the Ohio State University's SSDP chapter, and that is Russell Seelkirk for Students for Sensible Drug Policy. Following that is our very own Hemptations Beach local area store and hemp supporter, so stay tuned for that. And then we'll come back after the break. If you're wondering about Gatewood, he's going to be at the end of the show because we're saving the best for last. So it's Hemp Rock. I'm the Hemptress. He's the Burn Man, and he is rolling up. Kaylee, we'll be back.
But right now, I'm going to bring out the next speaker. Oh, let's see. We do have, from the Women's Organization of National Prohibition Reform, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, here is Kaylee.
Thank you. Well, my name is Kaylee, and actually the very first Hemp Fest I ever attended was right here on Fountain Square, so it's good to be back. I've learned three things in the last 10-15 years of this movement, and that's one, that prohibition is a policy that's failed every time it's been tried in the past. It is not a viable policy for us to be using ever. Two is that the drug war has caused more harm than the drugs that it was intended to control. And three is that marijuana is a plant that nobody should go to jail for. I am here representing the women's group. This group was formed back in the late 1920s. It was a group of parents, mothers, who had seen the harms that that prohibition was causing. And of course, you know, we've got the same harms today. We've got young men and women going to jail by the droves. And like Jack Cole said, you can get over an addiction, but you can't get over a conviction. This thing follows you the rest of your life. We've got nearly 3 million drug war orphans, parents, one or both in jail. They're coming up through the welfare system. They're getting no chances in life. And we feel like the mothers are the last line of defense. Are there any parents out here? Any mothers? If you even plan on having babies, come up and get some information from me over on that side of the square. We have reformed the group from the 1930s. They helped end prohibition 4 years after they began, so we hope that this group of women who fight with the passion of love in defending their children, and this is America's children. You don't have children yourself, but you've got to understand that this country's got no chance of ever being strong again, never, unless we can get this prohibition out of the way. This drug war ended, and no more prohibition. No more prohibition. That's about all I needed to say. I'm kind of shy on stage, but hello, Cincinnati. I love you.
Kaylee from Women's Organization for National Prohibition Reform. Put it together for Kaylee. Come all the way from Atlanta for this.
Senior Bull here, artist for Hemp Rock's Reefer Roach and Pottsbury Dope Boy, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's 95.7 FM on the airwaves.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
I would like to introduce a guy who's part of an organization that is putting on this, what is June 5th of this year, on a Saturday night, the Ohio Hemp Fest, going on in Columbus, Ohio at Mirror Lake on the OSU campus. From the Students for Sensible Drug Policy, here is Russell Selkirk.
Thanks everybody for coming out here. I guess I'm gonna try this just once and hopefully it works. You see, it's like I'm standing up here talking, but all I see is these bricks, and I want to see some smiling faces. So I was hoping that maybe we could all just come together, bring it together right down front here, get it all nice and warm. You know, I mean, everybody's kind of cold, but if we just bring it together, unite, get closer, see each other's smiling faces, feel the warmth, feel the love that we got in this movement, because I know it's everywhere. I can see it. Right, so like Senor was saying, you know, I'm with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. This is an organization that was started back in 1998 because of a law that was passed that denies federal financial aid to anybody that's been convicted of a drug-related offense. That's me. Back in 1999, I was caught smoking a bowl in a car that wasn't moving, right? But they found me. These undercover cops that were circulating in a parking lot found me smoking weed, arrested me. Then they made me serve time. Well, not behind bars, but they made me do community service. They took away my license for 6 months. I had to pay about $300 in fines. And I come to find out 6 months later is that I'm ineligible to receive financial aid. So, of course, I got pissed off. And I found a good way to channel that energy. It's through Students for Sensible Drug Policy. They've been doing a lot of good working up in Columbus, Ohio. We just had a march yesterday. It was excellent. Had people come out. The sun came out. And there were a lot of good speakers there. We rallied, went down to the park, had a beautiful smoke in. Everybody smoked until their eyes were blood red. And, you know, fiending for the food because the appetite stimulant is what marijuana does. But nonetheless, this is a really good organization. We have over 200 chapters across the nation now, and it's a really great way to get involved. If any students out here aren't involved on your college campus, if you're looking for a way to get involved, get in touch with the national office. They will be there to guide you and to help you, and this movement is something that's really taking root, and we're finally starting to change laws. We're seeing a lot of good progress. We've got a lot of people co-sponsoring a bill right now that would repeal the Higher Education Act drug provision, and we're also working on a lot of different angles in terms of trying to stop the drug war in Plan Colombia and trying to make things like needle exchange programs more acceptable and social norms in this society. And it's something that we gotta do, you know, because, well, you know, they talk about the war on drugs like this big scary thing, you know, about how people were addicted to, you know, shooting smack and doing all these other really bad things, you know, smoking crack. And it does exist, it is true, but really when you talk about the war on drugs, you have to talk about it in terms of the war on marijuana. Because there are millions of drug arrests each year, over 700,000 of which for marijuana alone. 80% of those for simple possession. I mean, they can lock us all up right now just because we're holding joints in our pockets. And it's got to stop, right? It's silly. It's ridiculous. It's a waste of effort. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of our tax dollars, if you guys are still paying taxes, you know, which I've decided to stop doing because I don't support this federal government's racist war on drugs and what they do internationally. So that's it, you know, I mean, we gotta be the revolution. We talk about revolution like it's something that's gonna happen, and it's something that's gotta happen right here. You know, it's something that's gotta happen on the inside. It's something we have to live daily. It's something we gotta breathe and eat. You know, by supporting all these, you know, corporations and other crazy conglomerates that feed our bodies toxic substances on a daily basis, we are supporting the war on drugs. We are supporting the war on ourselves. And it's gotta stop. And we are the people that's gonna change it, right?
Yeah!
And And, you know, one way I think we can really change this, and this is the theme of the Hemp Fest this year, which, by the way, is going to be on June 5th up at the Ohio State campus. Everybody's got to be there. Y'all got no excuses. No excuses whatsoever. It's going to be a great day. Everybody's going to come. Everybody's going to smoke a lot of pot. And it's going to be a big freak freedom festival. That's how we want it. But anyway, so back to the theme that we have going for this year's festival is overgrow the government, right? That's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. We got to take it back. And to really take it back, we can be here and we can talk about it. But we got to go home and we got to be about it. Go out back, plant your seeds, plant hemp, do what you can to spread your word. Tell your mama, tell your brother, tell your uncles, your sisters, and your cousins, because they all got to know that weed has to be legal, it has to be free, and we got to plant our seeds. So that's the message from Students for Sensible Drug Policy today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Russell Selkirk. Yeah. Thank you all again for coming out to the 2004 Million Marijuana March going on all over the world. All right, listen to that. Listen to that. Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear with the signs they're holding out there? They are honking for the legalization of medical marijuana, which actually I would prefer to see them just the plain out legalization of marijuana.
Hey, this is Senior Bull, MC for Hemp Rock's Marijuana Marches and Reefer Rumbles, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, 95.7 FM in Cincinnati.
I'm going to bring up another speaker here. Some of you might already know. You might have been into the place to buy all your greatest tobacco needs. But anyways... I guess he doesn't really need any introduction. From Cincinnati's own Hemptations, the Beach is back.
You got a yellow shirt, a green jacket.
Thank you very much. Alright, let's see what we got here. I'm gonna do this like this, I think. I really don't have anything prepared anytime I go on stage, so just bear with me. You never know what you're gonna get. To start off, I'd like to thank everybody for being here for sure. This is a movement that needs a lot of people behind it. It's only gonna come from people like us, changing things from down below. That's the only way anything has changed in this world. You can't start on top because it's already corrupt when it's up here. So we gotta start from below. It was probably 15 years ago, I was doing research for a speech in college, and I came across some information on the industrial hemp plant, which I kind of knew about because I grew up in Kentucky, and in Kentucky they have this stuff called ditchweed. And if you grew up in Kentucky, your parents will tell you, you know, it looks like marijuana and this and that, but you can't smoke it. It's not. Well, it's leftover hemp is what it is. It's feral hemp that's basically been bred so low through time of whatever, the THC is gone. It's the same hemp that they use for all industrial products. The United States is the only country in the world, industrialized country in the world, that doesn't grow hemp for industrialized purposes. So everything has to be imported. It's probably one of the greatest natural products on the planet. I mean, we can talk about making cars cleaner, we can talk about doing this, we can talk about that, but until America, this fucking part of America, because Canada is growing now, so we're behind them industrial-wise, until the United States gets their hands on it, our farmers need it, the world needs it. It's an incredible product, 50,000 byproducts. Anything you can make synthetically, or you can make out of wood, you can make from the hemp plant. Every part of it can be used for something. It's a renewable resource that'll grow in 5 months, just like most agricultural crops. Research has shown that it was probably one of the first agriculturally grown plants by humans on the planet. Predates almost 8,000 BC as far as they found hemp twine on pottery that was just wrapping the pottery. It has a history of over 5,000 years of print matter, being paper. We cut
down so many damn trees every year for this paper product to decimate this information. It's crap anyway half the time. Whereas we could be using hemp paper, we could be saving the trees. In 5 months, on 1 acre of hemp, you can grow as much as it would take for 4 acres of tree, which take at least 12 to 15 years to grow for paper. It's incredible that it's not being used for its proper resources. And the reason it's not, and you know, you can talk all the conspiracy theories that you want, this is probably one of the most easily proven conspiracy theories ever in the history of time. I mean, it's all there. 1937, DuPont invented the first synthetic fiber. William Randolph Hearst had just invested millions and millions of dollars in timberland for wood pulp. And Henry Anslinger, who was the head of the narcotics agency at the time, was about out of a job because Prohibition had ended and nothing else was out there for them to really fight the people on. So lo and behold, the next thing you know, the Marijuana Tax Act comes out, 1937. They had to call it marijuana to confuse you, the people, because if they would have called it hemp or cannabis, the people would have said, wait a minute, we've been using this for centuries. We're using this for clothing, for that matter. We're using this for medicine. 600 doctors locked up in 1938 for prescribing cannabis to their patients, which they had been doing their entire medical career. But all of a sudden, they didn't even know what marijuana was. The prescription said cannabis on it. That's what it was. So the government has been duping us this long. That's basically all it is. When you call it marijuana, you're using the government's term for it. I agree. That's it. Things have to change. We can change. This is a peaceful movement. I wouldn't be behind it if it wasn't peaceful. But that's what we got to do. But the way to do it peacefully is to get out there, educate yourself, for one thing, on the product. Complete everything, medicine, whatever it is, find out everything you can. Because I can tell you this, I'll sit down with anybody and debate the legality of this plant, whether it's for medicine, whether it's for industrial purposes, I don't care. Doesn't matter. It's about nature, it's about utilizing nature, and it's about stop destruction of the planet and the means we're doing it. And we need to change those things. Yeah. Come into the store, I have one of the largest selections of hemp goods of any hemp store anywhere, because it is about the hemp. Yeah, you can come to my store and you can buy the tobacco products, but honestly, I'd rather you bought a hemp t-shirt, I'd rather you bought a hemp pair of pants, I'd rather you bought a hat, a wallet, some shampoo, some soap. I mean, there's a multitude of products that you can use in your everyday life that can help change the planet. I mean, one way to definitely change things in this country is to prove it economically. You know, I mean, if you want to do something in this country, well, you better put some money behind it. That's for sure. You got to have people, and you got to have people that are willing to do it every way they can. But, you know, it's got to be done that way. And that's the only way that this product is going to be brought back to our American farmers, so we can use this land again to do something that can totally change things. It would revolutionize the world, and no one would care. It wouldn't matter. It'd put a sweet smell in the air in the fall. Oh, baby, would the sweet smell be good. I can tell you that. Harvest time in Kentucky, boy, you just drive down up and down the highways just to smell how good it'd be. But anyway, I've said as much as I want to say today. You guys keep following the movement, keep being strong, get behind it, educate yourself on every aspect of it. Okay, don't just be there just for smoking purposes, because there's a lot deeper issues than that. You know, stand behind what you believe in and do what you got to do and be there for justice, but just keep on doing. That's all I got to say. Let's legalize. Bring it back in every form. That was Beach from Hemptations. You can check them out on the web at www.hemptations.com. Okay. Looks like the group's picking up out there. How y'all feeling out there today? You feeling good? All right. You do understand why we are here today, do you not?
I'm good.
It's more than just a party, like the man said. It's for the betterment of our planet. And I do want to thank you all for coming out today and enduring the bitter cold of Ohio in springtime.
Cincinnati musicians, interested in submitting your music to be included in our local music library? CDs can be mailed to WVQC at 1100 Ray Street, Cincinnati, Ohio 45202, 513-651-4171, extension 11, or email to wvqcprogramming@mediabridges.org. Radio edits only, please.
WVQC, people-powered radio.
Are you part of a community group that has something to say? What if you could spread your own message with your own radio station?
Who, us?
Yeah, you.
Well, your chance is now. The Local Community Radio Act passed. As soon as the summer of 2012, community groups and nonprofits will have a one-time chance to apply for a community radio station. Amplify your voice on the airwaves.
Local issues, local media, local control. Visit PrometheusRadio.org/getradio for more information.
Hi, I'm the Burn Man,
and this is Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM and WBQC.org, the voice of the Queen City.
All right, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, and I'm rolling up the pot, and the Burn Man is taking a break. Anyway, we are WVQC LP, and we are, of course, playing some oldies but goodies, taking a little bit of a trip backwards to the 2004 Cincinnati Million Marijuana March, and that was on Fountain Square. Now we are sort of organizing and trying to figure out just exactly what we're going to do for the GMM Global, because it's gone global, although it already was. For this year, we'll let folks know as we put that event together, and possibly even a 420 event. I'm not sure yet, but If you were paying attention, that first clip was from Kay Lee, a wonderful woman that we've known for many, 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 many years, started her activism right here in the Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area. And right after that was Russell Seelkirk from the Ohio State University's Students for Sensible Drug Policy chapter from 8 years ago, anyway. I'm not sure what Russell's doing now. I think he went west. Like a lot of young people and old people, too, of course. Now, after that, of course, was the beach guy, the guy from the Hemptations Beach, of course. And, of course, we love to have him in the studio sometimes, too. He is also one of the sponsors of our events when we have them as well. So you can check him out at Hemptations.com if you're interested in getting some hemp. Now, stay tuned. We are going to have Gatewood here in just a minute. I want to tell you who it is that recorded this. This is Ganja Santa, actually. Doc, otherwise as known. And he is out of this area now. And he was very kind in giving us a DVD, actually, a video that he took of Gatewood at the San Francisco Hemp Expo way back in 1991. This was pre-medical in California, folks. And this was at the event, and Doc got Gatewood to sit down, and he did this interview. We appreciate Ganja Santa for sharing that with us, and we're going to air it right here today. You can also, of course, find that at Hemp Rock TV and Burn Man's YouTube page. And as I said, it's really easy to find, not only at hemprock.com, but also at WeedRadioNetwork.com, and get the link for Hemp Rock TV and get to that really, really easy. Now, I told you about the Richard Branson survey. There's also one on Costco's website. Hold on just a second. I'll get you that link. Go to CostcoConnection.com and look up the question, should marijuana be legal? It's running about an average of 90% people say yes. So that's what you can get in on right now. Stay tuned, though. Tomorrow is a very, very, very important show, way more important than most of the shows we've done other than like with Gatewood. If you were tuned in recently, I told you that, unbeknownst to me, Jake Shepherd was tuned in and listening, and he is the son of Gary Shepherd and Mary Jane Jones. Gary Shepherd was killed by the Kentucky State Police on March 8th. That's 19 years ago this Thursday, folks, by the Kentucky State Police. He was murdered over 12 or so plants next to his trailer in southern Kentucky, actually. So stay tuned for that. Mary Jane and their son Jake, who we had a fundraiser for back in 93 when this happened. Not sure if they're going to be in the studio or on the telephone, but they are the guests tomorrow. We're going to talk about what happened and what they're doing today. And so stay tuned for that. It's a really, really important show. Now, last but not least, I'm going to roll up this clip. And of course, then we got to get out of the studio in time for Cincinnati's Conscience. So this again is Gatewood Galbraith, interviewed by Ganja Santa back in 1991 at the San Francisco Hemp Expo. This goes out to the girls.
I'm sorry, what is your name?
My name is David Conlon.
Hi, David.
And your name?
My name is Gatewood Galbraith, David. I appreciate you wanting to aim that thing at me here.
Yeah, I'd like to know what you have to say, what you're doing here, and maybe where it all started.
Well, David, you asked me for 5 minutes, buddy. I've been at it 20 years.
Maybe as my history teacher said, in a nutshell.
Well, in a nutshell, 20 years ago, when I was 24 years old, a young man.
In where?
In Kentucky. I decided I was going to go to college, become an attorney, and run for governor, become governor, and change the marijuana laws and lift Kentucky out of poverty and despair. So, lo and behold, here I am 20 years later. I've been to college, I've become an attorney, I've practiced law, and I'm running for governor right now, and I have 37 days to go in my primary. And I'm showing up second and third in all the major polls, and I've spent only a fraction of what my opponents have proposed.
And this is still Kentucky?
This is in Kentucky, that's correct. We're doing all this under a state's rights auspice. I'm working within the system, I'm in the Democratic Party, and I've got four opponents in this race, and I'm going to win this. I need plurality to win it. 37 days to the election. I need 250,000 votes to win it. I need...
How many do you think you have now? Any idea?
I think I have somewhere between 200,000 and 300,000. Willie Nelson came in, did a benefit concert for me. He called me up and said he liked what I stood for, and he came in, did a benefit concert for me. God bless you, Willie. Wherever you are, God bless you, Willie. And the revolution is going to start in Kentucky. We're first in teenage pregnancy, we're first in literacy. We have the lowest life expectancy of any state in the Union. There is nobody doing us any favors. We were the world's largest producer of hemp for over 100 years. People say, Galbraith, you're a visionary. I say, no, I'm a historian. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the Kentucky farmer back into competition with the synthetic manufacturers in the field of fiber, medicine, and fuel by allowing our farmers to raise hemp as a cash crop, both from a methanol standpoint and from a medicinal recreational standpoint. And we're going to start it in Kentucky, and we're going to solve our problems in Kentucky. I'm not here to put Band-Aid on it. I'm here to solve it.
Great, great. Now, maybe we can go back to, 23 years ago?
20.
20 years ago. Okay, you were what there?
I was 24 years old, a milkman.
And what?
A milkman.
A milkman?
Yeah.
Oh!
I was unmanageable. I was unmanageable in high school. I had to go an extra half year to graduate from high school.
You had to go to summer school?
Yeah.
Graduated in August?
Yeah.
Of what year?
1965.
Ah, I flunked. I graduated
nice
in 66.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. First one in my school's history to get a zero on his report card in eighth grade. Just really kicked them.
Well, from grades 9 through 12, I was pretty unmanageable.
Oh.
But I had to work within the system.
High school, and when did you first smoke? High school?
Oh, no. I first smoked, when I was about 21.
Uh-huh.
A friend of mine come back from being an airplane mechanic in Thailand. He bought back 6 grocery bags full of weed, Thai weed. He called me up at my work and said, hey, would come over. I want you to sell you something. So I went over there. He had this sick grocery bag, and he said, I'd like you to smoke this. And I said, oh, Ted, that stuff's dangerous. He said, no, you don't worry about it. Would trust me. I said, okay. So he later became a doctor, so it was good sense trusting him. He took a razor and he chopped it up. He said, get me an aspirin. So we got an aspirin and chopped it up along with the marijuana. He said, it keeps us from getting a headache when we smoke it. And so we knocked tobacco out of a pell-mell cigarette and had tobacco out and put it in there and smoked it. Our stone for 3 days, laid on the couch for 3 days, rubbing my feet up and down, feeling the texture of that couch. First time I'd ever discovered third dimensionality, and to go from two to four so quick was almost overwhelming.
Now, did that immediately change your perception? Did you feel that up until that time you had been deceived?
I felt that I had been placed on a pace of life based on such transitory values and such arbitrary and false accelerants as motivation for that pace of life. Was that I had missed out on spirituality. I had missed out on what Mother Earth had to offer as far as the third dimension went. I had missed out on the sensations my body produced. I had missed out on the inflammation of my brain, which causes me to have thoughts I would never have had I stuck where I was. And it released me as an addicted personality from alcohol, which I was well on the road to become.
Aha. Now, has that since been given up and taken care of?
I drank in 14 years.
Oh, okay, great. But can you drink? I mean, can you take a sip or two here?
Right. And I could have wanted to.
Yeah.
It doesn't even feel there. Uh-huh. I mean, I've smelled it. And the smell was so overwhelming and overwhelmingly antithetical to where good weed takes me that I wouldn't want it to destroy my eye.
Great. Now, you went time between college graduation in 65 and then a milkman in 24.
Right, that's right. I went Marines in 19. I messed around a couple odd jobs, went Marines in 1966. I was ready to go halfway around the world, kill men, women, and children at the behest of a government whose policy I still can't enunciate. And I was going to John Wayne, and I'd either kill them or they'd kill me. But saved my life. I had an attack of bronchitis in the Marines in 1966, 3 days before I got off Paris Island.
So you went to Paris Island?
Got out of the service, that's uh-huh. right.
Oh, medical discharge.
Medical discharge.
Uh-huh. Well, so that took you to age what now?
To age 19. I came back and managed a pizza restaurant. Enrolled in school perhaps a half dozen times, never earned credit. Hitchhiked around the country in 1969, 1970.
Oh, now did you make it to Woodstock?
No, didn't make it to Woodstock. Made it to Atlanta Pop Festival shortly thereafter. Made it
before. It was before.
Was it before?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was there. Chicago came down. Was it the Speedway there?
No, it wasn't at Speedway. This was over in the forest. This was over off the farm.
Oh, okay.
Spent 11 months in China country in 69 and 70. Spent some time down here in Berkeley. Lived there for 5 months with a lovely young lady. Did migrant farm labor up in Chico, California.
Uh-huh.
Went hitchhiked coast to coast 8 times, border to border 5 times.
Is that right? Yeah. Oh, incredible.
And went back to Lexington, got a job as a horse farm milkman. I was a milkman type.
So the stories, are they true about milkman and the little housewife that's hasn't changed out of
her? Find out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on a mission from God. I just didn't understand what direction it was taking me for a long time. Being a milkman, you still work just as hard as being a milkman as you do.
And then was it on the job, or when was it? What happened then the 24, when you were 24?
Yep.
You were driving along, or what?
Oh, no. I was out in the streets with a brick in my hand.
You were what?
I was out in the streets with a brick in my hand.
Okay. Doing what? Yeah. Anti-demonstration?
Well, demonstrations, that's right. I was one of the leaders of the student demonstrations at the state of Kentucky, University of Kentucky.
Uh-huh. And you were attending there at the time?
Kentucky, but I wasn't a student. Uh-uh.
Oh, okay.
No, still a man.
Okay.
And somebody burned the ROTC building. And the National Guard was called in, and it was the only other state. Only other university besides Kent State and Jackson State where they were called in with live ammunition in their chambers. And there was 500 of them. So I was out in the streets beating the grade up against about 5,000 students. I looked over and said, I could turn in Superman, go over and kick all 500 asses over there, those people with those weapons, and it wouldn't change a damn thing. And I said, I'm a pawn in this system. I'm a powerless individual in this system. I don't know how the system works. They could come and take me away right now. And my screen would be futile, and my voice would be powerless and very weak. I said, I'm going to change the system. I got to learn how the system works, what makes it work, how it's run, and how to take power. So I decided at that point I was going to go to college, become an attorney, run, win the government, change marijuana laws in the state of Kentucky, and that was 20 years ago.
And that all happened? You went to college, became
at this point, yes.
And what type of an attorney?
criminal defense and personal injury and domestic relations.
Okay. And you had that were you with yourself or another firm? Or?
Oh, no, I've got nobody can work with me. By myself, and I'm a kick-ass attorney.
Great.
I mean, I win big cases. And
do you have one that you're kind of sticks out in your professional career?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Any particular one that sticks out?
Yeah, a case down in Illinois where my client was facing 10 to life. There had been a big marijuana ring broken up, and the first 46 defendants had either been found guilty or pled guilty. And the top 7 ringleaders were given life without parole. And my man was 47th in line. They had a lot of others after him. So my man said he wasn't going to plead anything, they're going to have to try him. We went down to Illinois, and over a 7-day period, the prosecution put on 11 eyewitnesses who said they had delivered loads between 50 and 500 pounds to this man's front door. And then one of them testified that they'd given my man $200,000 to hold Paul. And then the prosecution brought on 3 other people who said that they had seen this man give my man $200,000. That took 7 days for them to do that. My man got on the stand, denied it over a 2-hour period of time. The jury was out 3 hours and found him not guilty.
Oh, great.
That case sticks out in my mind.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, terrific. What would you like to tell the people of Kentucky if they happen to be watching this before election
day? I tell people, everybody. We live in a police state, and I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to be a second-class criminal or a second-class citizen or a criminal because I insist on getting my food, fuel, fiber, and medicine from the natural cycle of things. I'm not going to be made into a clone where I've got to deal with the synthetic monopolies in pharmacies, in fuel, or in fiber, or in food. Get over it. It's a totally artificial society. I prefer to get a lot of that stuff in the natural cycle of things. We're going to set it up politically for everybody in the United States and all over the globe where they can get those kinds of things from the natural cycle of things. Don't let go of it, folks.
That's very good. And we're going to vote for governor of Kentucky.
You got it.
Great.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi. I'm Gatewood Galbraith, criminal law attorney and the last free man in America. You're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, WVQCLP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Teapot Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at facebook.com/teapotparty or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on WVQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at weedradionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at weedradionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com.
Do you want marijuana? Do you want marijuana? You believe that?
Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WVQC-LP is Jay Allday with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.
WVQC, people-powered radio.